The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is for you. This is for you and me and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
Oh, I do. I hear that door opening, Randy. I can hear the door opening. I love waking up in America. I love getting up really early in the morning so that I can just be in the peace and the quiet of what's happening in the morning. I love our sponsors. I love Dynamic Radio Dialogues. Our sponsors are, I don't know, sponsors is the right word, people that we love that are behind us and what we put our lives and our hearts into are Bragg.com, and that's B-R-A-G-G. .com, and this woman, Patricia Bragg, her company has been going since 1912. Her father, Paul C. Bragg, started it, and Patricia continues the tradition with style, grace, and a lot great sense of love and humor. We're brought to you by Happily 200, the possibility of living to be 200 years old and feeling really great about it and being alive and wealthy and friends and finance and whatever it is that you need, because that's the possibility of living to be 200 inside the game we're playing. The Koning Company, and koningcompany.com, is a 5,000-year-old process that cleans the eustachian tubes. And I'll tell you more about, ask me more about that later, Randy, because there's some interesting things with that.
Okay.
We got drval.com, which is generational clearing. I mean, I've got my friends sitting around trying to figure out the best way of describing how it works, but we can actually go into the DNA and remove PTS trauma from this time and also from anything that our ancestors might have gone through. And when you remove those things, your whole life begins to look and feel differently, because you're not working out of a defensive place. You're working out of a creative place. So that's a happy thing to be able to do. Randy's up to stuff all the time with 42action.org. Why don't you tell him the most exciting thing that's happened for you this week, Randy, with 42 Action?
Oh, well, just, you know, great relationships. We had incredible calls this week where we talked about being in the private, and I think a whole lot of people are getting closer to making it happen, where you're pulling out of the system, the corporate system, the federal system as we know it. And that's a great place to be. So yeah, we've got a lot going on.
I got the fun yesterday of introducing Randy to a friend of mine, John Gorla, and he's a research guy. He's also with the Republic for the United States of America, not of the United States of America. That's a very important distinction, because when it's for, it means the states elect the government. When it's of, it means the government runs the state. So watch your mouth there. See what you're creating. So it was really fun to hook up John and Randy, because they both have a lot of similar things. And John just spends his days helping people. He's just he's such a good research director. That was a privilege. I went away from that call inspired for the day and for the possibility of what it is that we're going to be able to do with people. What we were talking about before the show, maybe you want to make a little reference to your little bear. I don't know. Is that appropriate?
To my
bear?
Oh, bear girl. Yeah, I like to wake up happy. But that's the best way to start a day, right? And I live down here in Florida. We always have sunshine. And I literally rolled out of bed and said, I want to laugh this morning first thing. And so I went immediately to a page, and I just typed in the word funny, and a bunch of possibilities came up, and I just looked at the funny sense of humor, sarcastic, doesn't matter, I don't care, memes that go up. And there was one, and it was Bear Grylls, and he's on, I think, Animal Planet or Discovery. And he's just this really nice guy. He's always out in the wilderness and studying animals and plants and all of that. And it shows him, and he's kind of squatted down, and he talks about when he's out in the wilderness, he uses the leaves to go to the bathroom. The next picture is of, like, a koala bear eating a leaf. And his eyes are all bugged out because that might be the leaf.
Right.
So,
but
yeah.
Notice what you did, Randy, is you set your tone for the day. And that's mm-hmm. exactly what we do here in the morning. And that's one of the reasons I really do not mind getting up at 5 to get myself in tune for the program, because I know that what we do on Waking Up in America helps set my tone. And what you actually see in what Randy was talking about is that she chose to do something to set her tone. And we set our tones every day. If we go out and we kick the trash can and swear at the trash can, we set our tone. Oh, well, here comes an angry day or whatever. After a while, after you've cleared yourself and you've let go of the things from the past, I love this card. I keep it on my desk. It says, "All forgiveness is a gift to yourself." And that's from The Course in Miracles. And that's how I set my tone, especially. I keep it, like, in the box and then propped up so that I can see it. Waking Up in America is about us waking up to our own strength, our own power, and our own possibility. That's where Happily 200 comes from. That's where the distinction of the United States for America comes from. It's all about creating the higher thing. It's about being, I'm personally an Olympic torchbearer, and there are thousands of us at this point, because the Olympic torch, you don't just pass the Olympic torch. What you do is you pass the flame from one person to another, and in all the years that Olympic torches have been passed, thousands of people have actually held that flame, and those thousands that have held it have a very special thing in life if they got what I got out of it. And what I got out of it was that I was connected to a 2,000-year-old lineage of the highest, of the best of what it is to be a human being without rancor between border or person. What was that skier Bodie that was the drunk? Do you remember that?
No, I don't know that one.
There was an Olympic skier named Bodie something or other that bragged around about how he drank. And I know it just totally upset me that this guy was taking the Olympics and he was removing them from stature and turning into a bar brawl.
Mm.
And because the conversation of the Olympics is about, you know, friendship between nations. It's about bringing out the best in yourself. It's about testing yourself to the limit. For a while, Randy, I don't think you know this, but Gail and I would interview Olympic champions.
No, I didn't know that.
So, a lot of them were, you know, one of them was Mark Spitz, you know, the swimmer,
mm-hmm.
that had won so many medals and things like that. One of them was Misty May, the volleyball beach champion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Those women won, and those guys that were on our show, Peter Vidmar, who got a perfect tan, I'll get him again. That's up, I promise you. He's lovely. It's all about doing the best that you can do in the best way that you can do it. And it's Sidious Altius Fortius, swifter, higher, stronger, which is the code of the Olympic torchbearer. And if you guys want to take it on, do that. You know, take on Sidious Altius Fortius. It's a great way to set your tone for the day. Or you can
take
Val,
it's incredible that the show is called Waking Up in America, and you're talking about getting up earlier today. And Success Magazine had done a survey, and they asked the most successful people a simple question: what was the biggest secret to improving their results? And the number one reason was waking up earlier. The next one was making a plan, and the next one was writing down goals. And they said that 95% of the population never writes down what it is that they want to achieve, so that other 5%, as far as earning income, they make more than the 95% combined, because they write it down, they get up earlier, they make their plans, they delegate activities.
Is that the study from Harvard Business School?
No, it was just a simple interview from in Success Magazine.
Okay, well, what Success Magazine put their finger on was years ago, and I'm going to say 10 or 15 years ago, Harvard Business School. It sounded just like what you were saying. Harvard Business School said pretty much the same thing. And they said, like you were saying, Randy, literally 5% of the people were doing more than 95% of the people, and it was simply because they were doing lists. And this is one of the reasons why coaching is so important. You know, people think they think I'm going to do their therapy or something like that. No, a lot of times what I do with my clients is I simply say, what was it you said you were going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And did you do it? And if you did do it, what happened? And if you didn't do it, when are you rescheduling it for?
Yeah.
Now, that sounds like a very simple thing, but if you start doing that, life literally changes.
Yeah.
Like big time. So I have two coaches every week, and that's another secret to how I pull this off. If you saw what I did single-handedly, Randy, when I had the flu and the computers and all my equipment was broken down, you ought to see what's come out of here. And it was because I was making people promises. What was the first thing I said to you on the radio this morning? I said, I had told you I would contact Sue or Sink. I wanted to be a guest this morning, and the first thing I said was I had told Randy that, like yesterday or the day before. I wanted to give her the current update on that. So I said, I called Stuart, and I haven't heard back from him yet. See, that's about keeping, it doesn't have to be finished, it just needs to be present, and it needs to remain present. And what you pointed to with lists, Randy, are perfect. Mm-hmm. But you've got some on your desk right now, don't you?
Oh, I have lots of lists. I have some lists that are, I have one list in particular that's from 2009.
And what's the 2009 list?
Well, it was about 2 pages of things that I wanted to achieve or earn or win. The lottery was on that. I haven't hit that one yet. But
well, you might have if you've got dong or dinar, you might have hit the lottery.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I want you to get that hitting the lottery is a statement, meaning you put in something small and you get something huge in return. So some of you may have already hit lotteries that you don't realize that you hit. I hit a lottery in Mexico. I was telling Randy about it this morning. I plunked down $15,000 on a credit card, and my property was worth that. I bought a piece of property for that, and my property in 3 days was worth $40,000. Would you call that a lottery?
Of course. For sure.
My point. So start expanding the look of lottery. I'm going to argue that Randy already has hit the lottery and she doesn't know it.
Well, you know, when you put it that way, yes, for sure I have. Several times in life.
Yeah, there you go. Now look at it. So yeah. Cross that off your list. Or put it down again. Say, I want to do it more. More, because lottery shows up in so many different ways. It just means a big cash poop from nothing. The one guy, Durga, my friend Durga, she just sings with Pink Floyd sometimes, okay? She invites me to this party over at this guy's house in the Hollywood Hills. And he's a Middle Eastern guy, Randy, you just love him. He was really cute, good-looking photographer. He had this Middle Eastern palace built, and it had all those little stones in it that they like so much, the little tiles and things. And he was 32 years old. And I said, how did you do this? What was your secret? He said, Val, I remember this to this day. I remember this all the time. He said, all you have to do is one right thing in your life. One right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, really? So what was your one right thing, mister? He goes, I was at a dinner table in Italy. I was having a lot of fun and we were talking, and somebody said that the rights to the TV series Columbo could be purchased for $10,000.
Oh, wow.
He said, fine, I'll take them. That was his decision of his entire life. It turned him into a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man who could have a babe on each arm if he wanted to. And some guys like babes on each arm, Randy.
Yeah.
I don't like those guys, but anyway. Well, you would have liked this guy, actually.
I'm sure we could have been friends, but,
You could
know
have been
what,
friends. You wouldn't have been his girlfriend,
to put him
okay?
In. Yeah.
You wouldn't have been his girlfriend. The
right.
point being... He was doing what he wanted. And he made one right decision, and that's all we're looking for, is one right decision for each of us. I think you've already made 15 right decisions. I just think they all haven't come to roost yet. And now that you realize that you're a lottery winner, because you are,
mm-hmm.
what could our listeners realize? Because you and I were having a conversation this morning about the different dimensions that are available. Like right now we're in what they call 3D. And in 3D, things are right and wrong. in the third dimension, you shouldn't have done that, or I hate you for that, or whatever. When you start to go into the fourth and fifth dimension, it's like, huh, okay, well, I guess that had to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's next? Or where am I with this? Or I'm more present. In the third dimension, you're more trying to make things happen. In the fourth and fifth dimensions, you're clearing things out so that you can actually receive the gifts that are due to you. It's a friendly universe in the fourth and fifth dimension. In the third dimension, it's a little bit like a horror show sometimes.
I can believe that.
So I don't know what your particular horror show is. Mine has to do with, you know, flux of income and stuff like that. And I was telling Randy about the properties I owed the stuff this morning, and she goes, you did that or something? How did you word that?
Yeah, I didn't know you had property in Idaho and Hawaii and all these
Mexico.
Places around the country, which was great.
Yeah. And the thing is, and then I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Within about a year or two, then I didn't. I held on to one of them. But now there are processes and there's things available. I mean, I've learned something about Mexico that I'm not going to share right now, but I think that very soon I'll be able to clear up the Mexico situation for all of us. I'm the kind of person that when I do something, I don't just do it for myself, I do it for community. It's when you stop being an I and you start being a we. Do you know what I'm talking about, Randy?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. So most people in 3D are I's.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, they
got
to learn how to delegate out and share and, you know,
and
spread it around.
Can...
Don't just take it on yourself, because that's where stress comes in. And, you know, a lot of people think that, I don't know if chaotic is the word, but a very busy life is stressful. But it really isn't if you have... You know, the right, I don't want to use the word, I guess, ritual in place. You know, you've got things in place. You can have, like, I can look at my desk right now, Val, and I had this conversation with Lance last night. I can look at my desk, and you can look at my desk, and you're going to say, what a chaotic mess. But you say, hey, where is my file? I might reach under 15 papers and pull it right out, and you'll go, how did you know that? You can't even see it. But I know my chaos, you know?
Well, guess what? By the time you hit the fifth dimension, I have a sneaky suspicion your chaos will have reorganized itself.
But, yeah, could be.
No, it just does. It's really interesting. It's like stuff that I was so attached to, it's gone. Or it's moved to a different place or something like that. Or, see, I got a 1 or 2 years on you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in those 1 or 2 years, I've collected a lot of stuff. When you come over to my house and you see it, you'll see all the stuff I've collected. So I spent most of my time not being able to find what I was looking for. And I have other people that come in and do stuff inside of my stuff, and then it really gets hard to find it.
Mm.
So I had to organize things and start to organize things and say, no, those things all go over there, okay? As soon as I did that, I started finding things that I didn't know I'd forgotten I had.
Mm-hmm.
And as I find the things that I've forgotten I had, then all of these new ideas are coming forward for the projects that I'm working on. And the truth of the matter is, it's getting easier rather than harder.
Mm.
You know, it's getting a lot easier. I can do way more in one day. And I get what you're saying about that. I know a person just like you that can reach into 15 newspapers and bring out the right article.
Yeah.
But one of the things...
Well, you know, what's funny is, you know, the end of the year... Has came and taxes and stuff were all due, and I needed to find a company checkbook. And Val, these are not small. It's not like a little regular personal checkbook.
I know company checkbooks.
Yeah, so they're big. I've lost it. Don't know where I lost it. Tore the house completely apart. Stressed about it for about 3 weeks. because I had to do end of the year stuff. And I ended up having to just go into the bank account and pull every single check from 2015 out and calculate everything separately. Total nightmare. However, turned that into a positive because I threw out an entire trash can.
Exactly. That's my point.
And that I'm talking this trash can's for the size of like six people probably.
No, that's my point, okay?
Yeah, my house got way lighter.
The IRS, this is my little thing, in midst of going to court and being sick and blah, 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 all this stuff, the IRS sends me this thing that they're going to seize my something or other. They're going to seize my company or my assets for not having filed certain things in such and such a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just started laughing because I'd already filed them twice. They made me already file them once, and then they made me file them twice. So I thought, I'll just go get my corporate book, which I put all the stuff in.
Can't find it.
I couldn't find the corporate book.
Yeah.
Could not find the corporate book. And as Randy was saying, I'm actually redoing the library downstairs. I'm pulling things from different places because I was sharing my house with people, so they were in the middle of my stuff, and I'm putting it all in the same place and stuff, and I'm getting real peppy.
Mm.
This is an energetic thing as well. You start to get your papers in order, and there's a thing that you feel. I recommend a P-Touch if you don't have one for your files, Randy. Do you know what they are?
No.
They're little labelers. When you look at your file and it has a little label on it that says, you know, Randy's Special Secrets or whatever it says on it, and it's all nice and neat and stuff, and your stuff is in there, you get a burst of pride. It's just kind of the way it works. You get a burst of pride, just like I get a burst of pride when I think about our sponsors. You know, which sponsor comes to your mind first? We'll call them benefactors.
I think Patricia Bragg, because she's the epitome of long life. And, you know, if you don't take your time now, your whatever youth you have right now, working on your wellness, you're going to spend the last years working on your illness. And so what I love about her is she's completely healthy, and she does windmills in an interview that's 60 minutes long, and you don't even hear her breathe heavy.
You don't even know she did. Just to tell you. Well, you know, Jenna, my friend Jenna, called me up and asked about this Protandin for horses, because she had seen a video where Protandin was helping horses with arthritis, and, you know, I've been having my problems. And I had Protandin, but I wasn't taking it regularly. I was, you know, I wasn't sure what it was doing anymore, even though I knew it was a good thing. I couldn't tell out of all of this stuff. And I went, if it helps arthritis, I'm taking it. Right? Randy, I noticed a difference.
Yeah.
Not, you know, like my arthritis. I figured if a horse could do it, I could do it.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know all the stuff. I know that Protandin is good. I actually found Dr. Norman's telephone number, so I'll go after him, too. He had changed telephone numbers. Remember I told you I was looking for him? Well, I found him.
Yeah.
So we'll have him on to talk about that. It sounds sometimes like our show is one big commercial. What it is Randy and I shouting out, like mad, at people that make a difference in life. And,
exactly.
And we hope you can hear them, too. And some of them pay to be on the air. And, well, actually, none of them pay to be on the air. What happens is that they become a benefactor to Happily 200, or we like their work, or whatever it is that we do, and that's how we do it. I want to actually just list the rest of them right now. You can go to coningcompany.com. We mentioned that earlier. It's got way kind of things going on with it, way past just ears, okay? It affects psychic ability, affects all kinds of stuff. And if you have any questions about it, you can always call me at 310-455-8623. The Aqua Chi and the telomeres, that's a detox thing, and the telomeres are actually the growing of the cap of your DNA, which when it disappears entirely, so have you. It's the end of life. You can actually grow them at 0.4% a year. Everything I'm talking about is on the WakingUpInAmerica.com website. If you want to check out Happily 200, and I really want you to check out Happily 200 because it's a total paradigm shift. It's a total thing out of the third dimension into the fourth and fifth dimensions. If you want to check that out, it's, once again, it's wakingupinamerica.com, and then a forward slash, and then a 200 and another forward slash. We haven't got all the benefactors or members on the site yet, but what we have is we've got a really good start, and I think you'll enjoy it, and it's a self-generating site, meaning that as you contribute, we can actually expand radio airtime. We can do all kinds of things to actually invite people to step out of the third dimension and start enjoying some ease in life. Always, I talk to Jim Thomas almost every week, and what's going on with El Pinto in Albuquerque, those twins are keeping that restaurant hopping, and not only that, they're now doing contracts with major airlines and things of that nature. Their products are being put out. They're 100% in your favor as far as Kangen water, as far as everything. These guys are giving you the healthiest food possible. It's a destination restaurant, and their products are available at Kroger's and also at Ralph's and I think some other places, but that was come to mind at the moment. The Galactic Federation with Sheldon and Colleen, hey, if you really want to open up your eyes and check out some other dimensions, find out what they have to say about our neighbors in the galaxy. It's not scary stuff, really. It's really kind of, it's very heartwarming. We have drvalerie.com, which I mentioned earlier, and doctor is all spelled out. And I literally can take PTSD out of your DNA strands, okay, and out of your current life and any ancestral lives as well. And those are the things that make us stuck in certain ways. If anybody's ever been hooked up with somebody that's going through PTSD from one of the wars, it's a frightening place to be because that person is just a field of triggers. You can trigger them so easily, and those triggers can all be neutralized. So it happens in battered families. It happens in alcoholic families. It definitely happens in war. It happens for everybody sometime in their life. You have one trauma or experience that fuses inside of your consciousness, and then you either live your life to embrace it or avoid it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, gosh, it's just what's available to us now is, oh, Randy, I cannot tell you. When I started doing, when I wanted to be a therapist in the 70s.
Okay.
There was all these little things like you couldn't change yourself, you know, you couldn't change it. All you could change is yourself, but you couldn't change your relationship with anybody else. And if you were married, it was basically for better or worse, and most of the time that turned out to be worse. Because
yeah.
You weren't supposed to exert yourself, or if you were a woman, you weren't supposed to put out your needs or wants, or it's just unbelievably restrictive, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so, why? There's no need for that, not in this lifetime.
No, that there isn't, but, you know, you and I were talking about, I mentioned that I was reading Harry Truman's life.
Mm-hmm.
I am now, by the way, it's one of the secrets of the Centaurians, and that was my aunt, Auntie Cleo. This was one of her secrets. She said, read 1,000-page books. I thought that was pretty cute. The reason is she wants to get to the end of the book. So she read,
okay.
That's what she did. She read 1,000-page books. She lived to be 103. And when she died, we would all go to visit her in Canada for her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after she was like 95 or something like that. So every year we'd trek up to Canada for Annie Cleo's birthday. She conveniently died so that her funeral would be at her birthday.
Oh, interesting.
I'm telling
you.
She
planned that, but
they do plan it. And that's mm-hmm. there's a series of books called The Life and Teaching of the Masters of the Far East, which I think was written in like 1916 or 1919 or something like that.
Okay.
And when I read that book, I was like, whoa. They could bilocate. Do you know what that is?
No.
Bilocate is where I'm here, but I'm also standing right next to your desk in Florida.
Okay.
And I could take myself from here to Florida and show up there in person. I haven't gotten that one down yet.
Hmm.
But bilocation is one of the things that they were doing regularly. Okay. Another thing, and this is about India, another thing that they were doing regularly in India was you could say, Randy, you know, I want to go on to my next life, and I want to say goodbye to everybody, so could you guys come over at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday? We'll have a little party, and then I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Interesting.
So we have way more power. I mean, what's happened as the United States of America and other cultures, believe me, this is not a new thing that started in 1871. Our particular form of hell started in 1871, okay, with the corporation of the United States of America, when that started. But this has been going on for as long as humans have been on the planet, you know? What's the special thing that's happening right now, Ms. Shannon, as far as I can see, is this is actually all coming to a grinding halt. It looks to me like I'm hearing reports all over the place that the global currency reset will be happening before June. All over the place. I'm noticing myself that I'm an easier person to be with in certain situations that used to be challenging to me. I've done a lot of work on having my own post-traumatic stuff taken out. And believe me, the family I grew up in and had plenty of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I get excited. I hope that comes through. But what I see with a lot of people that are waiting for that is, you know, they're not creating the life of their dreams right now. They're waiting for that one day that it pays off.
That, I'm so glad you brought it up, because that's three-dimensional. Okay, what you're saying is three-dimensional? I'm not waiting for it.
Yeah, you don't wait.
you don't wait. But see, that's the third dimension. Because in the third dimension, you've had terror forced on you. Okay, will I be able to pay this bill? Will my children be taken away from me? Will my children die of vaccines? Will my husband leave me? Will I have my job? You know, I just got a $4 an hour job. I better not lose it. That's all 3D stuff. That all exists in the third dimension. When you get that, you so nailed it, Randy.
Yeah, people got to get intentional in what they do now. And when that money comes in, or whatever your train comes in, whatever that train is, then you're ready. And you're like, it's not about that. It's about now. You got to be intentional about how, and get serious about how you're living now. Do it now.
Well, see, that's because they're inside the 3D paradigm. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about it this morning. The moment you step out of the 3D paradigm, you kind of go, okay, mind you, it sounds like airy fairy woo woo. It isn't. You go, I'm the universe loves me.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you're inside of the 3D paradigm, you drive. You're driving to make everything happen or not happen. So you get either overly aggressive or depressed. You know, that's pretty much your choices inside of 3D. When you start to move in the other, you go, okay, everything I need is around me, even in the Lord's Prayer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord tells you to, the word pray actually means to go out and get that which is yours. How do you know what that is, what is yours? You listen. And when you're in 3D, you ain't listening. You're forcing, you're pushing, you're depressed because you didn't make it. Somebody tries to talk to you and you just snarl at them. Or
exactly.
You don't, you know. Whatever. The point is you can't even hear. And every one of us knows what that sounds like. I mean, I can tell you I was in 3D a couple of times yesterday, and I'm totally not in 3D this morning. It's real simple. Because after you get to enjoy it, you'll get to recognize it easier. Randy knows what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And once you operate in 3D, all of this stuff disappears, because you either want to do it or you don't want to do it. There was a book, Randy, it was called, I think it was called Folly, something about your parachute. Do you remember this?
No, I don't know that one.
It has to do with following your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a rainbow parachute or some darn thing. It was from the 70s, but it was a big deal then. And it is, what's your heart?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what in your heart do you want to do? I've been a little rabble-rouser kickbutt ever since I was a kid. I didn't buy it all. I didn't even buy you have to send the food to Europe, you know, for the starving children. I didn't buy that. At three, I didn't buy it. I gave them my allowance and told them to send it. We're being manipulated all the time in the fourth and fifth dimensions. You're not being manipulated. You're choosing.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing and you're choosing.
Yeah, I agree.
You can look at somebody and you can see something in them that they might not even see in themselves when you're in this. Rather than reacting to their personality or their identity, you can actually see the heart of the person sometimes. It's just all, we're multidimensional beings that have been trained to live inside of one box.
Yeah. Wow. And people, you know, in that box, you know, they let all kinds of interferences get in the way, like TV, the newspapers, even the internet, you know. All of these things interfere, and it really is preventing people from becoming what they're supposed to become. Like, I have one son who's kind of nomadic. He's all over the country. He would rather live off the grid. After having lived out in the wilderness for about 6 months, I took him to a restaurant when I went to visit him. And we, at the restaurant we were sitting, and there was lights hanging over us, and he said, "I feel that." You know, so once you're out of it, and then you go back into, and I'm not saying we can all live out in the wilderness for 6 months, but what my point is when you break away from all the things that you're so used to, and you go to eating more of a great diet where it's live foods, and you break away from the electricity, the phone, the internet, the TV, the newspapers, you really start to unwind and become this person. You grow, and you become what you were supposed to be.
And guess who gave up their vacations? Because this is the purpose of vacations, by the way. You know, but I haven't technically had a vacation in years. Fortunately, I live in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what your son gets, and I totally know what he's talking about. But what I'm also telling you is that people don't have vacations as much anymore. The vacation companies are hurting. They don't shut themselves off, or if they go on vacation, there has to be Wi-Fi when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
What your son was talking about, I experienced because I've lived in the mountains most of the time. I just like the air better. And when we were evacuated in the Las Flores fire in 1992, the sheriff came through with bullhorns and told us we had to leave, and I went to stay in the city with my girlfriend Caressa.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of her house, Randy, I would walk at night, and I could hear the electric lines buzzing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Even in the quiet. And it was just like, it made me shudder.
I was driving down the road last night. I took this nomadic son, he's here visiting, and I said, run an errand with me, and we went down the road, and he pointed out this radio tower, and he said, "Mom, do you really want to live near this?" And, you know, it's not near my house, it's a few miles away, but I said, "I have never seen that. It's like this gigantic tower hidden behind buildings, so you don't see the front of it at eye level." And he said, "Mom, you need to get out of this." And he's right.
You have to come visit Topanga, cutie. Let me tell you. They wanted to put in a cell phone tower down by the fire station.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that we had an attorney so fast that they were knocked breathless.
Wow.
We have a very strong community here, and we said no. Oh, did I tell you went to the Board of Supervisors this week?
No, you didn't. What happened?
Oh, my God. This is, I tell you, when something grabs your heart and you just know it's right,
uh-huh.
You know it's right. So no matter what was going on or what, I felt like my friends Randy and Joe, who own Canyon View Ranch, had been so great to Sarah and helped me find a home, you know, trained her so she could get a good home, and just generous, wonderful man. These contractors had bought up land on the top of Topanga near the dog kennel and were trying to run them out of business because they wanted to make million-dollar homes up there, multi-million-dollar homes. That's what they are up on that plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And they were nasty, and they had a lot of money behind them, and they sent out campaigns, and I got involved in it and started fighting it. And then they tried to get the dog kennel license reviewed, negated, and they didn't succeed. And this particular Tuesday at 9:30 in the morning, I got to go into the supervisor's chambers, you know, with the rest of the people that wanted to talk to the supervisors. They meet on Tuesdays. Well, here was the most interesting thing. All the people that were there for different causes, and they were giving away prizes for District 4 and stuff like that, and putting together a Magic Johnson Park for District 7. I think it was District 7. Anyway, I found it very interesting. And not only did I find it interesting, I actually started crying. You know me, Randy. And I started crying because to begin the proceedings, they had a minister come in and say a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had us all do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that that God was still present, and spirituality was still present with the Board of Supervisors. There's, I think there's 5 or 7 of them, and they literally allocate the funds of Los Angeles County to different projects, and that's how we have a library here, actually.
You know what's funny, and I you said that, like, I never, and I totally don't have a full grasp of it, but the courts actually do believe in God, because there's a certain document that's going around, and it's just one sentence, Val, and it shuts down courts. It shuts down, like, if you put this in, the judge reads it, and it shuts it down. So it's like good versus evil. Like, he's, and I know you're not going to totally agree with me here, but he's in the black robe, which represents not necessarily something good.
Well, I'm going to finish the rest of my story, but you can tell this right now, because there's more to this.
Okay, good. Go.
Well, what's the more to it is that not only did we get what we wanted, people flew in from San Francisco and all over the place to support these men, and there were 40 people that showed up to testify.
Mm-hmm.
That's for them, there were 4. For
mm-hmm.
us, there were 40 people. In
yeah.
case you ever wondered about magnetism or standing for something right, and everybody that was there that I talked to said, well, I had to be here. It was the right thing to do. We all said the same thing. It was like
there's
we were operating out of the right thing to do. But here's the beauty of it. Not only did we get what we were asking for, the supervisor stood up and she said, and just she had to put in some special little things that had to be done because that's just what needed to be there. And then she said, and by the way, she said, I think you should be aware of the fact that these contractors have to follow certain rules too, and I think that you should be turning in reports on them. So not only did the supervisor give us what we had asked for, she admonished the contractors who were making everybody's life miserable and being real A-H's.
Right.
Okay. She admonished them. And we not only left the courtroom with a win, but here's the rest of what happened. People, the night before, I have a friend, Harley Jane Kojak, that's an actress that lived in the canyon, and the night before, I was looking at an old email that had Harley's acting reel in it, right? And I watched her acting reel just because I kind of missed her.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who I ran into the next morning was Harley Jane Kojak.
This
is not three-dimensional stuff, okay?
Yeah.
When you the night before, you look up something and get familiar. And she was wearing the same glasses she was wearing in the reel in one of the scenes, and all I caught was a flash, probably less than a second, of this head headed into the bathroom. And then I waited, and I thought, I bet that was Harley. And I waited, and sure enough, it was. And Harley had come in from some great distance. Some woman had flown in from San Francisco. Then I'm looking, and by God, there's my friend Eileen from the Pacific Palisades. I didn't know she was even knew these guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us said we were just doing it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
They dropped work, they dropped everything, and they showed up because it was the right thing to do. These guys single-handedly had taken care of the dogs of Topanga in a way that they have never been taken care of. And we're a dog horse town.
Mm.
Now, that's what we like over here is doggies and horses. And now the city is trying to, they think they're going to license our horses. We'll see.
Unbelievable.
They want to tax the horses.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say at 200 a head or something like that.
That's just crazy. You know, there was a story, Portland mayor pledged to destroy the homeless camps, Portland, Oregon. And the residents
yeah.
surrounded the city hall with pitchforks and torches. Kind of like what you guys did.
Actually, we were just little love puppies.
Yeah.
You know what they did? Randy and Joe did. It was so cool. They're very meticulous people. I mean, they're the kind of people that you would literally be safe eating off their floor. Everything is just totally, totally, totally neat. They're spick and span human beings, and they also know how to follow the rules. So, at the council meetings, you're not supposed to clap or boo or anything like that. You're supposed to remain silent. So what Randy and Joe did is they printed up pictures of our dogs, all of our dogs,
That's cute.
So every time something would happen that we liked, we'd wave the dog pictures. And then if it didn't happen the way that we liked, and the other people were like being just awful, you know. Mm-hmm. But here we were all nice and silent, flapping our dog pictures. There's all kinds of ways to get stuff done. And frankly, I want to know, what is this one sentence that you say that the judge shut them down? I want to know that.
Well, I didn't make this up, but I had a guest on my law call. And you know what? I'm just going to claim it here. I'm going to say it, and it is, this is fact, and you're my witness, and so are all the listeners.
I know. I love it.
And it's in big letters. It says waiver. And then underneath of that, it says, from the beginning, with God as my witness, I, Randy, a true woman of God, acknowledge all blessings given by God, repent all transgressions against God, and waive all claims without God. And that stops the courts.
What do you mean it stops them? You mean they can't even speak a word, or?
The judges cannot proceed forward in those cases. And Curtis Kallenbeck, we should get him on the show. He put this together, and he has shared it with so many people. And a judge will read that, and he'll look at the plaintiff or the prosecutor and say, I can't proceed forward. And that's it.
Well, listen, you know, I'm going to court twice next week. Will you email me that?
Yeah, for sure. You got to.
That would be fun. Then we can. Then we'll know by next Saturday.
Exactly.
And hey, listen,
go ahead. That's typed in. You flip the paper over, and you handwrite it, Val. And you know how you always handwrite these notes to the judge?
Yes.
There's power in the handwriting. And when you handwrite that, they cannot dispute it. And you put a thumbprint at the bottom. You don't even sign your name. You just put a thumbprint and red ink on it.
Does it need to be in red?
And you have two witnesses.
I even have a red tablet for red thumbprints.
Well, there you go. And you get two witnesses. They don't have to be notaries. They just have to do a thumbprint and a first name. And it stands.
Well, you know what? I'm perfectly willing to try it, okay?
Good. I'll send it over to you. I'll send it over.
I'll try it. I'll try it in traffic. I'm in traffic court. I'm not sure if traffic court is next week or the week after, but I am going to court on Monday morning at 9:30, so I'd be happy to try it there. The judge has... amused by me, I know that.
Yeah.
Look,
well, they love it when someone comes in like you, Val.
I know, they do. You can tell they're no longer bored, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It must be hard to be brutal all the time, you know?
Exactly.
I
just heard a funny story about a guy who went to court, and he did the, I'm here by special appearance, I'm not that man, you know, whatever,
yeah.
And the judge was calling the guy, and he just said, you know, I'm not that man, but I'm, you know, here by special appearance. I'm not that all caps name, blah, blah, blah. And there was two attorneys sitting in the crowd, and this guy that was standing saying that, his friend was near the attorneys, and the attorneys were whispering to each other, but it was loud enough that this other guy could hear, and he goes, oh, this is going to be good. They were talking to each other, so they were getting ready to leave, and they sat back down. And the judge was like 80-some years old, and the guy ended up, you know, being able to walk.
Oh, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I think the judge loved it, because he had somebody that actually knew his rights. He knew who he was. So, anyway, go ahead.
You know, that's what Tim would say all the time. Listen, I got to get in these things for this rock star of aging.
Yes.
I got to get you the stuff for the Happily 200. Now, you're going to go over and check out Happily 200 at wakingupinamerica.com/200/. But here's the deal. The rock stars of aging, and these are only centurions speaking. I was trying to figure out what the word for 200 is. It's all the paradigm that you live inside. When I say happily 200, you may live to only be 127 or something like that, but the way you live will have a quality of life to it that's absent when you think your life is over at 100 if you're lucky. So here's I loved Helen Keller. I thought she was amazing. I even met Patty Duke, who played her role in Helen Keller's story, and Anne Bancroft, I think, was the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remarkable individual who was born without so many senses that we think are required. Here's what Anne what Helen Keller said, and she lived from June 27, 1880 to June 1, 1968. So that's a good long life. One should never count the years. One should instead count one's interests. I have kept young, trying never to lose my childhood sense of wonderment. And that was kind of what Randy was talking about this morning when she was saying that she wanted to wake up and laugh. That's a very childhood thing. You hear children laughing all the time until somebody smacks it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or trains it out of them, you know?
And, yeah.
You know, when I say smack it out of them, it's like, shh, you got to be quiet here. Smacks aren't just always with the hand.
Yeah.
They're with the voice. So just make sure you know, listen to your voice and see if you're smacking yourself or your kids. Here's another one, and this one's from a woman named, this is funny. She died in 2008 as the world's oldest blogger. So
wow.
There are people that just wait to get older, and they don't do anything to make themselves better. And so they just sit, kind of what you were talking about with the dinar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just sit. Pretty soon they will wilt like a flower. You have to work. You have to work your mind. Your mind is an instrument. You got to oil and grease it, and you can't let it wilt. So what Randy was talking, for anybody out there that's got investments or they've gone into the lottery or they're holding dong or dinar or something like that, great. Congratulations.
Mike piped in.
Huh?
Mike.
Enjoy it and keep going, because that dong or that dinar or that investment may look like nothing by the time you get which is yours.
As we begin
to connect and we take care of each other, that was what was so fun about putting John Gorla and Randy Shannon together yesterday, was that they're probably two of the human beings I trust most on the face of the earth. And as I was explaining to others, mm-hmm. I trust them in a business level, which you don't normally have a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust them on a business level. I trust them on a spiritual level. I trust them on an integrity level. And I trust them on a physical level. Okay? So what an extraordinary experience it is to put that together. Who knows all that will come from that?
Mm. Yeah,
okay,
I think good things. We actually had a conversation even last night. So
fabulous. And you remember when we were talking about this other guy that we have worked with in the past and what problems he caused?
Yes.
This guy is the opposite of that.
Right.
And it's like, exactly. Over time, it isn't that you just pull away from, quote, bad people. It's like over time you begin to select people. The one thing, I swear, I love this airlines woman, okay, that I keep talking about.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm going to call you Wednesday night. She calls Wednesday night. When she came over yesterday to chit-chat with me, I said, you know what I really appreciate about you is that you say what you're going to do and then you do it. And she said, Val, all I have is my word.
That's it. Completely.
All I have
That's
is my word. And you know, Randy and I have been showing up on this call from her. It's just before 9. For me, it's just before 6. And we've been doing this for 4 years. And I know Randy's going to be on the call when she says she's going to be on the call. And when she says she isn't going to be, I know she isn't going to be.
Like when I was on the cruise.
Yeah,
when
well,
I was on
knew
the
that,
cruise.
But before. But I was also didn't know for sure what had happened or when the cruise started. That was the problem I had. I didn't have the date.
No, I was just cracking up on the cruise.
Yeah.
Thinking, I'm going to be in Bahamas. I can't broadcast in Bahamas.
Right. But the point is, we have a commitment here. And, you know, there's a lot of people. Hush, Mike. He thinks I'm going to read all those 57,000 good names of all the great people that have been on Waking Up in America. And what we're doing is we're acknowledging them in the space, because in the fourth dimension, we know that. And I'm actually going to put some kind of a list on the website, I think, or maybe even on the Happily 200 page, about all the amazing human beings that have contributed to this program. Most recently, what we have is Tramiel Hubbard, who is our webmaster. We have Bent Miguel, who wrote the theme music, Almost Ordinary People. We have a research director. We have a lot of people that contribute to us. And, you know, just have a good day. See if you can experience a few of the different dimensions. They're fun. Sidious Altius Fortius. We love you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.